his love for her was so deeply woven with resentment that he could not untangle the two. She was sick all the time, from her weak heart and from the cold she got in every season, which made her wheeze and gasp for breath. Yet when he came up the path from school with his books slung over his back, it was June who was always waiting. June, who looked into his face and understood what his day had been like, who wanted to know all about it. Her fingers were small, and she liked to pat him, the breeze shifting her long, lank hair. And then one weekend he came home from school to find the cabin empty, still, a wash rag hanging over the side of the tub, and a chill in the air. He sat on the porch, hungry and cold, waiting. Very much later, near dusk, he glimpsed his mother walking down the hill with her arms folded. She did not speak until she reached the steps, and then she looked up at him and said, "David, your sister died. June died." His mother's hair was pulled back tautly, and a vein was pulsing in her temple, and her eyes were red-rimmed from crying. She wore a thin gray sweater pulled close, and she said, "David, she's gone." And when he stood and hugged her, she broke down, weeping, and he said, "When?" And she said, "3 days ago, on Tuesday. It was early in the morning, and I went outside to get some water, and when I came back, the house was quiet, and I knew right away she was gone, stopped breathing." He held his mother, and he could not think of anything more to say. The pain he felt was deep inside him, and above that was a numbness, and he could not cry. He put a blanket around his mother's shoulders. He made her a cup of tea and went out to the hens and found the eggs she had not collected, and he gathered them. He fed the chickens and milked the cow. He did these ordinary things, but when he went inside, the house was still dim, the air still silent, and June was still gone. "Davy," his mother said a long time later from the shadows where she sat, "you go off to school. Learn something that could help in the world." He felt a resentment at that. He wanted his life to be his own, unencumbered by this shadow, this loss. He felt guilty because June was lying in the earth with a mound of dirt over her, and he was still standing here. He was alive, and the breath moved in and out of his lungs. He could feel it, and his heartbeat. "I'll be a doctor," he said. And his mother didn't answer, but after a while she nodded and rose, pulling her sweater close again. "Davy, I need you to take the Bible and go up there with me and say the words. I want the words said formally and right." And so they walked up the hillside together. It was dark by the time they got there, and he stood beneath the pines with the high wind whispering, and by the flickering light from the kerosene lamp he read, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." "But I want," he thought as he spoke the words, "I want." And his mother wept, and they walked silently down the hill to the house, where he wrote a letter to his father telling the news. He posted this on Monday when he went back to town with its bustle and bright lights. He stood behind the counter, the oak worn smooth by a generation of commerce, and dropped the plain white letter in the mail. When they finally reached the car, Nora paused to examine her shoulder, dark pink from the sun. She was wearing sunglasses, and when she looked up at him, he could not read her expression. "You don't have to be such a hero," she said. Her words were flat and practiced, and he could tell she had been thinking about them, rehearsing them perhaps during the walk back.
"I'm not trying to be a hero."
"No," she looked away. "I think you are," she said. "It's my fault, too. For a long time I wanted to be rescued, I realized that. But not anymore. You don't have to protect me all the time now. I hate it." And then she took the car seat and turned away again. In the dappled sunlight, Paul's hand reached for her hair, and David felt a sense of panic, almost vertigo, at all he didn't know, at all he knew and couldn't mend. And anger. He felt that, too, suddenly in a great rush. At himself, but also at Caroline, who had not done what he'd asked, who had made an impossible situation even worse. Nora slid into the front seat and slammed the car door shut. He fished in his pocket for his keys, and instead pulled out the last geode, gray and smooth, earth-shaped. He held it, warming in his palm, thinking of all mysteries the world contained, layers of stone concealed beneath the flesh of earth and grass. These dull rocks, with their glimmering, hidden hearts.